760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
All right, good evening, buddy. My name is Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer, coming to you from KFMB Studios with 50,000 watts of power. We're heard not just in San Diego County, but Orange County, LA County, up the coast to Seattle on a good night, down to Cabo, out to the desert. If you download the app for 760 KFMB or tune in radio, you can hear this show on any device as it airs. And all these podcasts are commercial-free on iymoney.com. Now time to introduce the main man of the hour. He's a CPA extraordinaire, an accomplished marathon runner, a best-selling author, a lecturer, a philanthropist, and a family office expert advising several high net worth families. His name is Richard Muzio. Richard, good evening. How are you tonight? I'm getting that down, aren't I?
Yeah, you're getting that down. I'm marvelous. I just flew in from Durango, Colorado, where we enjoyed the snow, but I landed and then went and played in a pro-am tennis tournament against a bunch of women professional tennis players out at Morgan Run right off the airplane.
Oh, they're doing like a mixed
pro-am
now?
Yeah, it's one of the, well, it's just the pro-am, but it's a women's tournament, but a small one out at Morgan Run. Finals are on Sunday.
So you're not just happy getting beat by the men, you have to get beat by the women too.
Yeah. I won a couple. It was double. I can still compete.
I'm sure.
It's fun playing the young pros.
Excellent.
Amazing athletes.
Well, anyway, first off, I wanted to thank Julie Potiker. She was our guest a couple weeks ago at the JCC. I actually went and took one of her mindful meditation classes, and I highly recommend it.
You seem much more calm.
Yeah, you 30 minutes of that, and it's very refreshing, and it's very, you really works on yourself and everything, your gratitude and all these things, and you will feel better and relaxed, get into your breathing and all that. And, of course, that's a good lead into our guest. We are going to talk about fitness tonight, so we'll get into mind-body fitness because, obviously, they go hand-in-hand, right, Richard?
They do.
Yeah. And the other recommendation I have to give is I saw the film Hidden Figures over the weekend, and my. Have you seen it, Richard?
No, although you'll be proud of me.
What's
the name of the movie about the big crash in 2008? I watched it over the weekend.
Inside Job.
That was really good. I watched Inside Job.
Well, it only won the Oscar.
Yeah, but one of our guests, Frank Partnoy, was on, one of our former guests.
Oh, yes.
He was in that. Frank was in
that.
Oh,
yes. Well, he's been on 60 Minutes and everything. Yeah. So. But I'm proud of you for watching. What'd you think?
It was good. I really enjoyed it. I don't know that it was 100% accurate. I'd give it about 97% accuracy.
Well, it won the Oscar, so that's not bad.
That's good enough. That's good enough.
But anyway, Hidden Figures, it's the film about the African-American women who worked in the NASA program in Virginia and I guess elsewhere. But, boy, what they had to endure in terms of racism back then compared to now, I mean, it's for people who weren't alive at the time, it's a real eye-opener. And, the bottom line is John Glenn would not get into that capsule until one of those women gave him the coordinates where he was going to land.
Right. It's always good to know where you're going to land when you're in a space capsule traveling millions of miles.
And on a personal note, I have to say my uncle Vic was on the team that designed the second stage of that Atlas rocket for that Friendship 7. He wasn't in the credits, unfortunately, but I do remember Walter Cronkite saying his name when I was 8 years old.
Cool.
So that was really, very cool. But my God, you think about this, Richard, that capsule. Once they shot it into space, there was no rockets on it. If they didn't get it into the right orbit,
it'd still be out there.
I mean, that's unbelievable when you think about it. And a parachute, and you come back in like a parachute. I mean, it's like shooting a rocket into the sky and coming down with a parachute. I wouldn't want to be that first. I mean, John Glenn was a hero, no doubt about it. So, but anyway.
I used to watch those liftoffs on black and white TV from what was then Cape Canaveral.
Oh, yeah. I remember watching on the TV with, the TV that was like a piece of furniture,
Exactly.
8 feet wide with all the wood and everything.
They got three channels.
Yeah. Which, by the way, you see one of those in the movie, by the way.
Okay.
But anyway, tonight we digress. You've been wanting to have this guest on for many, many months now, and apparently you've known him a long, long time.
Oh, yeah. We're good friends. Go way back.
So this gentleman is a premier fitness trainer. As a matter of fact, his company's San Diego Premier Training, and his name is Mike Diebler. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, our pleasure. So,
if you're wondering why I'm so fit, Joe, it's because of him.
Exactly.
Well, let's see. Mike, we usually like to get a little background about our guests, where they're born and raised, went to school, and their education and career path. So you want to go into that a little bit for us?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm originally from the East Coast. I was born and raised in New York, just about an hour and a half north of New York City. Mm-hmm. And pretty much an athlete growing up my whole life. Ended up going to University of Connecticut, not to play basketball. That would have been nice.
Although I have to mention, the only postseason victory in the history of my alma mater, University of San Diego, was against University of Connecticut.
Yeah, really? we don't have to talk about that. Though.
Well, you wouldn't have beaten the women's team if they even had. Did they have a women's team back then or not?
Oh, they were going strong then. Yeah,
because they're over 100 wins in a row now.
That's
right?
Like a 20-year legacy.
Yeah,
that was Sue Bird and Diana Taurasi. That was my era.
Isn't it amazing how I could dominate in college today? Anyway, we digress. But I'm sorry to interrupt. So UConn and...
I did a sport there. I was a track athlete, high jumper. Mm-hmm. So I had a great four-year career there, and I ended up getting my bachelor's in kinesiology because I knew I wanted to do something with sports, fitness, health-related because that was my interest. So I wanted to have fun with whatever I was going to do.
And for people who don't know what kinesiology is, what is the science and study of movement?
Exactly, study of movement. So there's a lot of different ways you can go with that. So... Mm-hmm. Then I basically didn't want to get a job yet, so I said I'm going to go to grad school. So then I moved down to Florida because I just got sick of snow and shoveling and all of that. So I went down to University of Florida, and I ended up getting my master's in exercise science.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I first started getting into more fitness, personal training. I had a great mentor down there that helped me get started. And after 2 years there, graduated and knew I could pretty much do that anywhere that I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured, why not Southern California? And me and a buddy just packed up and we drove out here.
Mm.
And that was 11 years ago.
Wow.
Coming up on 12, I believe. And we kind of just moved out here for fun and just wanted to see what would happen. And it's funny how that works. So,
yeah, like everybody else, you never went back.
Yeah.
I know. I'm just another transplant out here from the East Coast.
That's what I did 40 years ago. You know, you come out here and I say, oh my gosh, I'm not going back to the Midwest. Forget about it. I'm here.
Yeah. you just can't beat this, especially for this industry. I mean,
we are the triathlon capital of the world and elite athlete, I think, capital of the world. And we had Bob Babbitt on to testify to that, for God. You must know Bob a little bit from Competitive Edge or Competitive Magazine and
I mean, not personally, but yeah.
Challenged athletes.
He's a legend.
Yeah.
That's the way you're saying you're old, Bob.
If you don't believe me, if you don't believe he's a legend, just ask him.
He's a legend in his own mind, right? Yeah, there you go.
But he does a great job. Especially, I did go to that Challenged Athlete event and down at the Cove this year. It's really inspiring. But anyway, sorry I interrupted. Where were we? So master's in exercise science.
Yeah. So just a little bit more specific on exercise training. And yeah, when I moved out here, I just was kind of playing around and wanted to see what I can do with it. I started personal training, working just a variety of places. I started working at Fitness Together, a personal training studio.
Our friend Christine Burke.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So worked with her for a few years and then, just kind of led to me opening up my own studio, and that was we're going on 8 years now.
Nice. When you studied exercise science and all this, did they get into diet much in the study of nutrition, or is that a whole different field, more or less?
You get into it, but the specifics would be a different field. So a lot of with nutrition, it's postgraduate work and trying to figure it out on your own.
I think SDSU's has a program in exercise nutrition or something like that, don't they?
Yeah. They do.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, that's cool. So where did you first open up? Where's your facility now, as a matter of fact?
In Carlsbad.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
So we started in a small, about 1,000 square foot facility, just did private training, me and a couple other trainers. And then we were there for 5 years and just kept growing and we're busting at the seams. So we moved just down the street about a mile and into a 5,000 square foot facility. And that's where we currently are. And now we can just offer a lot more of a complete wellness program. We have physical therapists, chiropractor, massage therapists, nutrition coaching, personal training, group training. So just a variety of outlets for people based on what their goals are and their needs. Yeah,
absolutely. A minute to the break. How did you and Richard meet?
Through Christine Burke.
Yeah, Christine Burke, who is also a trainer and had her own business. And so I was working out there and Mike was training people there. And so when Mike opened up his own place 8 years ago, I just became one of Mike's clients because Christine was more Vista-based and I'm sort of Leucadian Carlsbad guy.
So you go once a week, Richard? Is that your
regular? About once a week. And I do a lot of other things, of course, too, as you know.
Yes.
Some rather crazy things to stay in shape, but Mike gives me a really, really good base. You know, I like long distance endurance running, but at my age, you can only put in so many training miles before you toast your body. So you have to do other things to stay fit.
Well, let's just pause and take a break. And we're
I thought that was good timing.
Yeah, we'll come back with Mike Diebler all about Premier Training right after this. Hang on. All right, we are back with Mike Diebler talking about Premier Training and fitness. And, of course, he's been training Richard, made him the elite athlete that he is, was, and will be, I guess.
Still am.
I said is, was, and will be. That covers it.
It covers everything.
Anyway, well, Mike, you were talking at the break about another event, another way you met Richard. So you want to share that?
Yeah. So this is probably the first way we actually met, I believe. But I remember I was doing a workout just at the studio on my own, and I've never been a runner. I was on the track team, but my running was like a lap warm up. I was a jumper,
so you jump real high in the air.
Yeah,
it's not running.
We take 8 steps. That's my run.
Exactly.
Yeah. So anyway, primarily my workouts were more weight training, and Christine Burke, our mutual friend, came in and said, "Hey, Richard Musio is going to bet any trainer $1,000 if they can beat him in a 5K." So pretty much I immediately dropped all the weights I was holding and ran outside. And I'm like, all right, because I think that was about...
It was 06.
Yeah.
It was just before the first ever Oceanside Turkey Trot,
yeah,
which was in November of 06.
Yeah, and
yep.
I think she said that it was, I don't know, maybe 1 to 2 months before. So I had a couple weeks that I definitely could put some training in. So I had to look up and see what Richard's times were. And I saw, you know, around 20 minutes, 21 minutes. If I could do something like that, I had a shot. So... that's where my training took me. I don't think I lifted anymore. I just ran. And I wish I could say I was $1,000 richer.
But you guys didn't have to pony up. It was just because, you know, people were just starting their businesses. So I was going to pay up, but nobody paid me, for the record. I ran a 20 minutes and 21 seconds at the first Oceanside Turkey Trot.
And that's 3.1 miles, right?
Yeah, that was
and
like
I believe I ran
pace.
A 21.05.
You were 21.04.
That's still pretty good. Yeah. 7 minute
miles.
Really
good. You were chasing me the whole way.
Yeah.
7 minute miles for the size of you.
And then, yeah, and then, for the record, 30 minutes later in the second 5K, I put on a 9-pound turkey costume and did a 23.37.
Uh huh.
So at least I beat that time.
Then beat that time.
Then he goes home and he passes out and he's too tired to eat his turkey. So
that's the secret.
That's why you move your feet before you eat, Joe.
Exactly. Now, our board operator, Justin, here, remember when you walked in the door today, he remembered seeing you at some event. Justin, where was that?
It was a strength. Oh, hold on. Let me get the right mic here.
Was a strength training for seniors workshop in Carlsbad, I don't know, maybe 6 months ago?
Yeah, about that.
You're a senior, Justin?
No, but at my other job, I... do personal training, and I work with an older population, so it was a good refresher.
Cool.
Excellent.
We didn't know that about you.
I keep a lot of secrets.
Yes.
Okay.
How are we doing with the tobacco, Justin? No comment? You doing
great. It's been a long time. Haven't had a cigarette in years.
Justin, really? You know, he's thrown down some half marathons in the last couple, 3 years.
Is that right?
Wow.
I did not know that.
Yeah, Justin, he's picked up some distance.
I did my half marathon, 1984.
Yeah, we know, Joe. You told the story.
I had that shirt with the Jay David on it.
It's time for an encore performance,
Joe. Remember Jay David?
Mr. Dominelli, Nancy Hoover.
One of the premier sponsors of the AFC half marathon that starts at Point Loma and goes downhill, but then I didn't realize it goes uphill again into Balboa Park. I wasn't ready for that second hill.
It's a fun finish.
But I made it, and whatever.
But Mike, here's my question. Let's get back on topic.
Okay.
So a lot of people make New Year's resolutions, right? To get fit or fitter or become less fit. I mean, to stop being less fit and just do something.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're here now at the end of about 2 months into the year. What percentage of people do you think have given up their New Year's fitness resolutions by now in terms of their behavior?
By now, I mean, we're probably about 80%, I would say, is off of track.
So how does accountability and personal training go together?
I mean, that's going to be crucial. Most people are constantly trying to find education and things like that to learn, like, oh, I need to eat these foods.
Because the education part is easy. It's all on the internet.
Yeah. Google knows everything. And all you really have to do is look it up, and anything you'd find is there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But implementation is completely different. And that's the whole key, is keeping that accountability, is take what information you need only, and then implement it. And it's a lot of people can do that on their own if you're self-motivated, mm-hmm, and just can pick something up and do it, while many people, they can't just do it on their own, and they need something or somebody to keep them a little bit more
accountable.
Well,
let's say a guy walks in your door, let's say 44, never worked out in his life. I mean, the first thing they need to get is probably a clearance by a doctor or get some kind of professional assessment of their health and at that point, right?
Exactly, because we don't know what's going on. They could even be a healthy weight, and that tells us one thing, not everything.
I just heard a story about the Japanese, and maybe you heard something about this, but they have a very high incidence of type 2 diabetes. Not maybe the Japanese Americans. I'm not sure if it's Japanese Americans or those in Japan, but they're not overweight, which is the
and they eat a lot of fish.
Yeah, but apparently they eat a lot of junk too, and fried and sugar.
A lot of fried food.
But when I heard that, because I always had in my mind that the Japanese culture relatively healthy, but I guess with the advent of computers and video games and everything else, they're having that problem. Did you hear anything about this at all, or not too much?
Not too much, but it doesn't surprise me. A lot of times we get that the grass is always greener, where if they do it over there, it must be good, which sometimes is true, but other times they have the same issues we do.
It might be the Western diet, though.
Yeah. But Mike, the other thing is I'm not a big fan of big box gyms, because besides accountability, I see a lot of people at gyms doing things that are actually hurting their bodies because they don't have any supervision.
Yeah, and like most things, something can be good for you or something could be bad for you. So obviously exercise is good for you unless you're doing things that are not good for your body and you're just damaging it. So not having proper form and doing a squat or anything, repetitions over and over and over again are just damaging the joints till, one day all of a sudden you have this little pain and you try and push through it and now it's a significant pain and now I'm talking to a doctor.
Yeah, not good. I heard of a story once where a big box gym, Richard, this is true, and the guy put a lady on a leg machine, I guess to do the hamstring thing, and he got a phone call, comes back,
left her there.
And she kept going. I guess it was lightweight, but she completely ripped and tore all her back of her leg, the tendons, ligaments, whatever, and wound up in a lawsuit, actually.
Yeah.
Big box gym. So I think the thing is, the key is to, take the client where they're at in their place, and because I guess you get all variations of height, weight, age that's coming through the door, right?
Yeah, exactly. And we want to know where you are right now, develop your baseline so we can see exactly what you're capable of right now, and then getting you a little uncomfortable. It's work. It's not like I can just put together something super easy and you get dramatic results. It's something that has to push you a little.
The key is to be a little bit sore. But I've done these complimentary training sessions with people when I was younger, Richard, and they put you through such you haven't worked out in a long time, and they put you through such a strenuous workout that you can't get out of bed the next day.
Yeah, but you've got to state where you stand and just say if I'm not comfortable doing something.
But I think Mike is aware of how far he can push some of these people, depending upon age and their fitness level, right, and all that, right?
Yeah, I mean, we work with clients. Our oldest client right now is 94. Comes 3 days a week. He actually one of the owners of the Philadelphia Eagles, which is pretty cool. Yeah,
I know who you mean. Yeah.
So he's out there. He does what he can, and he's looking great. And we train kids too, so everything in between. So we have to know exactly what they're capable of doing, how to evaluate them, and then get their input. Where do you want to go? Do you want to be a high performance athlete, or you just want to play with your grandkids?
Some people just want to lose 10, 15 pounds, you know?
Yeah.
So Richard, so why do people drop their New Year's resolutions? Do they take on too much? Do they do it in an unsupervised way?
There's probably not one reason. I think you hit on one key thing right there, is that they do set these really high goals and take on way too much.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just unrealistic when you're like, I'm going to eat better, I'm going to start exercising, I'm going to change this, I'm going to change this. But we all know how hard habits are to change.
Yeah.
To take on four or five is just unrealistic.
And the other challenge, I think, with New Year's resolutions with fitness is the way it gets dark so early, and we only have about 10 hours of daylight and 14 hours of dark.
Well, we're trying to get rid of that,
I know, but I think it makes more sense to make your fitness resolution when we change the clocks in March, because you actually have more time when you have more daylight to actually go out and do things.
Well,
just my own personal theory.
And then Sharon Blanchet, one of our sponsors and a prior guest from a few weeks ago, she said she has a trainer. She said you need to have a trainer to make that'll make the commitment, because then
that's the accountability.
You've got to keep an appointment, and that takes it to a new level when you make that commitment.
Yeah, and your trainer might say, gee, what did you eat for breakfast today?
And that investment. So, but we'll get back with Mike Diebler, Premier Fitness, and all this other good information right after this. Hang on. All right, we're back with the award-winning It's Your Money and Your Life, and this is a time where we like to thank our sponsors, and in particular, our premier sponsor, Sharon Blanchet, Lisa Christensen, ABC Family Law. We thank them for all the great work they do, and Richard has some more.
UBS, Michael Caronta could not do this show without UBS, so a big thank you to UBS. Every day I get 1099s in the mail from UBS. Great service. It must be because it's tax season. Also, our favorite CPAs on the planet, two sets of them, Jason Kruger, CPA with Signature Analytics, a great CFO service firm. Also, more traditional CPAs, Polito Epic CPAs with Don Epic and Paul Polito. Yes, it is tax season. They can help you there, no question. Also, our great friend Joel Grushkin with Cost Segregation Initiatives. Cost Segregation Initiatives helps real estate owners improve their cash flow. Now, all this money that these sponsors make for you, how about you stashing at Mechanics Bank, formerly known as California Republic Bank, a great niche market bank serving wealthy families and real estate businesses and owners, of course, headed up the San Diego region by Sean Puckett, a recent guest. Mars Maddocks, formerly known as Mars Maddocks, I should say, Hub International, great employee benefits firm. And, of course, employee benefits might be changing dramatically given what might happen to Obamacare. So, again, Hub International, highly recommend them. Also, the LG Experience and the Lombardi Group, making heroes out of wealth advisors by helping wealth advisors make heroes out of CPAs to the CPA's very best clients. Great collaborative working relationship there between CPAs and wealth advisors with the Lombardi Group. Also, Paul Hines. Paul, of course, heads up Hearthstone Private Wealth Management, and he is the catalyst behind SeniorSafeAndSound.org here in San Diego, helping to prevent financial abuse of the elderly. Also, Michelle St. Clair with Elite Lifestyle Management. For those of us who have no time, Elite Lifestyle Management can help you with all kinds of things, simple things like travel arrangements to more complicated and esoteric things, and they are now going to become regional too, Joe, as they are looking at opening up an office in Beverly Hills or Los Angeles. Also, Brenda Geiger with Geiger Law Office. Brenda specializes in estate planning as well as asset protection. She's got a great continuing education symposium coming up on May 12th. Check out the website for Geiger Law Office on that. And our latest sponsor for this quarter, Servant Leadership Institute. You remember them, Joe. Servant Leadership Institute has their national conference coming up at the downtown Marriott on March 13th and 14th. We have Art Barter coming up as a guest soon, along with the famous composer Charles Hazelwood. That's going to be really cool, but check out servantleadershipinstitute.com for more information on their national conference. And Joe, I'm getting hungry because I worked out this morning, but not with Mike.
Well, there's...
And I'm talking a lot.
Yeah.
So for those of you listening who are also getting hungry...
Yes, well, there's a very good food foundation headed up by Michelle Lirak, which has four great shows with us every year, plus the Berry Good Night Dinner, where we broadcast from the event. They do great work in food and sustainability all year long. A lot of great events. You should get to their website. I think it's, well, look at our website and you can get to
theirs.
It's
up there, yeah.
And then also Lestat's Coffee House is the original in Normal Heights, the second one in University Heights, and the third in Hillcrest, all open 24/7, 365, always packed, always great food, and always a lot of fun over there. And I know if you go to our website, iymoney.com, and there's a drop-down tab there for sponsors, and you can find out information about any or all of them. And I know many have been working with Richard for many years with great success, right?
That is true. In some cases, almost 30 years. It's a long time.
Yes, and then for I know Joel Grushkin's a big basketball junkie.
Yes.
And the opening night film for the Jewish Film Festival was Over the Top, about the 1977 Israel.
It might have been 72, but anyway.
72, I think 72, 70. Yeah. I think it might have been 72. Anyway, I think you're right, 72. But the team from Israel beat
the Soviet Red Army team.
Yeah, everybody in Europe, and it was a big deal, and that was a great film. And we're going to try to have an encore performance somewhere, and we'll invite people when that happens, so.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, now back to Mike Diebler about fitness and training. And where did we last leave off, Mike, about resolutions or...
Yeah, how 80% of the people by this time of the year have sort of bailed.
And I think they do need the trainer to make the commitment. Let's give his website, sandiegopremiertraining.com. The address, Mike, you're up in El Camino Real?
El Camino Real in Carlsbad, just south of Palomar Airport Road.
Okay, wonderful. Right near the airport.
2.4 miles from my house. Sometimes I run from my house, do my workout, and then run back home.
Oh, my gosh.
Put in 4.8 miles plus 45 minutes of working out.
Well, now Richard's advanced, but I mean, just like the normal person who wants to lose 10, 15, 20 pounds and just feel fit again, I mean, you can do that too, right, Mike?
Oh, of course, yeah. Any population we can work with.
Because I think a lot of people walk into a gym, especially, you know, older folks who haven't worked out, and they get intimidated. They see these ripped people, men and women, and they feel like a fish out of water. So I guess you have to make them feel comfortable and get them into their, you know, just take people where they're at the level they're at, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's honestly why we opened our doors in the first place, because we knew people would go into a gym, or they wouldn't go to a gym because they had that idea that they didn't fit in, they weren't in shape, so they couldn't go to a gym, which, you know, it's a little irrational, but that's how people think. So we wanted to make sure this is a place, it doesn't matter your fitness level, your age, we're a community, we're all going to do this together, the other members are going to support you, not look at you, you know, it's just a fun environment.
Now, do you do some nice introductory programs? I see on your website, Try is Free. What is that all about?
Yeah, and that's basically just our chance to get to know what you're looking for. So whether, you know, we have group training or private training, it's like you're buying a car. You would want to test drive it before you put all that money in. It's the same thing. If you're going to make the investment into your health, we want to make sure you know exactly what you're getting out of it, what the coaching involves, and what the program involves, where it's not just a series of workouts, but it's a whole program that's going to come with it to help you be successful.
Okay, so let's just take a hypothetical. Like, let's say a guy 55 comes in, has only worked out marginally, never played sports or whatever, and what does he need to do to get to an optimal level of fitness? So what's the minimum you can do to get the maximum results?
Well, we kind of look at what... Again, if we're going to change a habit, if it's somebody who doesn't work out, they probably don't really just want to start working out. They've been fighting it for some reason, whether they don't like it.
For their whole life.
Yeah. Yeah. So we want to find out what's their biggest limiting factor. What's holding that person back? And is it fear? Is it just the unknown? They're not sure. Mm-hmm. Education. And we can start with that and say, okay, well, let's just break down that one barrier. If it's just unknown, you're not sure how your body's going to react to a workout, don't worry about your diet yet. Don't worry about anything else. Let's just start this one new habit. We just want you to come commit to something days a week.
You guys have treadmills in there?
We do. A little bit of cardio equipment. Most of it is open for more resistance-based training.
As well as movement.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the main thing with some people, I mean, just get them out and start and get them moving because, and even kids today, I mean, just getting.
Well, kids are too sedentary.
Yeah. Well, we all are, but.
Kids in particular. I'm not. I need to sit more.
Well, the kids I see on, you know, some of these other the TV say when they're covering these sports, I mean, there's a lot of sports going on, water polo and football, and everything. I'm not too crazy about the football thing all the time, but I mean, there are sports, organized sports in schools, but not enough are participating or not enough are doing.
Oh, the numbers are down. But Mike, you do something cool. You travel around doing educational seminars, right?
I do, yes. Yeah, so I work with a company called Exercise Etc., and I'm their director of education, and it's an opportunity for other fitness professionals and even some therapists to get continuing educational credits. So that's the event that Justin was talking about that was up in Carlsbad. That one in particular was strength and conditioning for seniors. So we had a group of personal trainers that we just met with, and we talked all the different things that you would need to be aware of if you happen to be working with that specific population.
And that's an important population because there's issues, for example, with balance, steps, just things to us that are simple as you age. Those things become hard to navigate sometimes. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And it could be life-saving. I mean, any exercise is life-saving. It's just harder to see when you're 30 and 40. Right. You don't necessarily look at those things all the time.
What do you think of things like Tai Chi or things like that or yoga?
Oh, amazing. I mean, if you look at all the research on Tai Chi and fall prevention and all the benefits there, it's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Do you work with somebody who does that as well? Or do you recommend?
We don't. I personally have a recommendation for it, but I do believe it is a good thing to practice.
And Mike, you also do some traveling now. You've gone from the personal trainer who wouldn't run to this crazy Spartan guy. What is that all about?
Sometimes I don't get it. I still don't call myself a runner. It's an obstacle course race. But so my wife and I, who I run the studio with, we did a Spartan race a couple years ago, and honestly, when I did it, I didn't think I would ever like it. I didn't want to get muddy. I didn't want to run. And I did it, and I finished, and I thought that was awesome, and I want to do this again. So we started doing it more and more. I ended up getting certified as a Spartan coach, and we decided let's see what we can do. So we made the goal of we're going to run one in every state.
Well, I'm curious about that, but we have to take a break right now. Justin, you have some music to take us to the break?
I'm waiting for this ad. 3 seconds.
All right, not to worry. But Spartan Race, we want to find about that. And then all these, you were featured in a lot of other media here. I want muscle fitness, prevention, men's health, all that. Anyway, we'll come back with Mike. We'll fight through this break and get back with Mike Diebler, Premier Fitness. Hang on. Oh, my God. Rich, remember this song?
Let's get physical, Joe.
Let's get a physical. Oh, my God. Had to be one of the, I don't know. I can't. Yeah, there it is.
Olivia Newton-John, thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. All right. That's
we'll put,
enough.
We'll put 20 cents in your bank account, even though that's not worth it.
Anyway, we're back with Mike Diebler, San Diego Premier Training up in Carlsbad, correct?
Correct.
And
so Spartan Races.
Spartan Races.
What are some of these weird things you guys do out there on that
What
course?
Are these Spartan
so
Races?
So Spartan Races, they have a few different levels. It'll vary anywhere from on the short end around 3 miles all the way up into, they actually have about a marathon distance, all obstacles throughout it. So it's a little bit of trail running and then obstacle to obstacle running in between. So you're going to be jumping over walls, diving in water, you know, at least waist deep, usually freezing cold, getting out again and running, climbing ropes, throwing spears, picking up heavy stuff.
You may as well just join the Navy SEALs for God's sake at this point.
Pretty much. Well, and we pay for this.
Yeah. There's an entry fee.
Yeah. But you get a medal and a t-shirt when you're done, so it's all worth it.
So I see on your website you have private personal training, small group training, nutrition coaching, and what is that all about, nutrition coaching?
So We're not nutritionists, so we're not going to work, especially with special populations, that they need to work with somebody licensed to work in that specific field. Mm-hmm. Instead, we're talking more general population, and really what we're trying to encourage is more behavior change, because that's the biggest problem. When you ask somebody, do you know how to eat healthy? Usually the answer is, well, I know. I know I need more vegetables, I need more fiber, I need more protein, I need to cut down on the processed sugar. So that's not the hard part, is educating them. It's, okay, well, let's be more practical. Why don't you do those things, and how can we start incorporating them? So we meet on a regular basis, looking at the types of foods they are eating, giving them ideas on how to get certain things in that they might be lacking.
Mm. I'll tell you, if you just eat a couple carrots and a couple apples a day, you know, at least do that and drink water and get rid of the soda. And I don't even like the artificial sweetened anything. I think that's as bad or worse. I mean, right? I mean, it's got to be less natural.
It always depends who you talk to, it seems like. But my opinion is always, I'd rather you did the real sugar and less of it versus getting all of these artificial chemicals and things like that.
Yeah. Your diet's pretty good, right, Richard? I know you do eat bread, but you burn a lot of calories. But
that's pretty good. You know, I don't drink alcohol, don't drink caffeine.
Right. But I mean,
I can't speak unless I have a piece of bread in my left hand. But I mean, because I'm Italian.
Do you eat fast food? No.
No, I don't eat
no
fast
French
food.
Fries.
No, I eat a lot of fish.
I remember Charlie Joyner was on the chart. He would not touch a French fry.
A lot of fish, a lot of chicken. I only have red meat maybe once a month.
Yeah.
So not a lot of meat.
Well, they say you need some meat. Now, I just saw a study or heard a report that if you're pure for males who are pure vegetarians, it hurts the offspring or whatever.
I need to eat meat sometimes.
The potency.
I need iron.
I
feel like I get run down if I don't.
So
I usually like the mentality that everything is good for you and everything is bad for you, and it all comes down to how much. Like saturated fat, has been demonized, and everybody thinks that's the worst thing in the world. But no, saturated fat has a purpose in your body, and it's really good. It's when you're just having bacon and French fries and all these things nonstop. That's a problem. But we need some in our diet.
Absolutely. I mean, our brain is made up of fat.
Exactly. Right? And people have issues when they go on extremely low fat diets.
My fat level neck up is 100% body fat. Yeah.
But I do wonder, you know, we should get some doctors.
Joe doesn't get most of my jokes.
I get it. But I'm just wondering with the increase in dementia and mental issues, you know, that is related to diet somehow.
Oh, diet and exercise. I mean, the brain needs a constant blood supply. And when you're suffering from inadequate blood flow through maybe hardening of the arteries or anything, heart disease, things like that, the brain's not getting the blood and the oxygen and the other nutrients it needs. And that's a problem, and brain cells can die, and then dementia can set in. And
didn't I see somewhere that if you're totally sedentary for a day, it's like smoking a pack of cigarettes or whatever. I mean, they're kind of analogizing that with the health impact.
Where sitting's the new smoking.
Yes, sitting. Yeah. not good.
And even those that exercise, even if you are sitting too much, may still have issues.
Yeah.
So the exercise is always great, but the better answer is to not sit all day.
Take breaks. And then I've seen some companies where they've had, they put the receptionist, they give them a treadmill.
Yeah.
Why not?
Just to walk and, you know.
We sit too much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hey, Mike, before the show, Joe was asking, what is the best exercise for your abs?
So the best ab exercise is going to be the table push away.
And what's the second best? The plank?
Yeah, yeah, probably some exercise like that. But yeah, you know, people want the secret to those six-pack abs or getting rid of belly fat. And obviously exercise is a component of it, but it's really hard to...
Sit-ups don't do it if you're not losing weight and doing the great diet, right? And,
yeah, yeah. I mean, I see people killing themselves doing all these crazy ab exercises, but they'll go eat a Big Mac.
And then anatomically, you know, not everyone has, you know, some people just are not going to get a six pack. I don't care how much they work. I mean, it's just, right? I mean.
Well, you know, and it's not as simple as people want to make it out. We're not a calculator where it's a calories in versus calories out where, you know, track everything exactly. I mean, it just doesn't work that way.
I mean, it's your core, building your core strength is more important than anything, right?
I mean, you know, lower your back pain so you move better and, mm-hmm. and function better. Those are all going to be more important, but, you know, it nothing wrong with wanting to look good. It's just being realistic with what you can achieve.
Yeah, and I think there's also an issue with the supplements market. There's mm-hmm. sort of this thought that if you take these certain pills, you can do whatever else you want to do or not do anything else. And because you're taking some green pills every day, you're going to be fit.
Yeah, and it's... People need to remember the word supplement means to supplement, to add to, not to replace. Or
right.
So it's not going to replace exercise. It won't replace a good diet. It's just, hey, if you're lacking in iron or, you know, something specific, maybe this will help.
Well, what do you think of these things they market, the drinks that increase your metabolism? I won't mention brand names, but you know what they are, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The ones in a big monstrous can. Well, I mean, these can't be good for you, right?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of health risks for people that are drinking too much. And, mm-hmm. and I know there's been some cases where people have had serious harm. But, it's caffeine.
Yeah.
And we know that caffeine will give you a metabolism boost. It does help improve your fat burning capability. Not to the extent people believe it will, but it definitely does. But, you know, a cup of coffee, a cup of tea will do just as good
mm-hmm.
and not have all the side effects of the jitters and not being able to sleep, because sleep is going to be more important than just about anything anyway.
That's for sure.
Yeah, we got a show about that. So, yeah. Mike, when's your next Spartan race?
Actually, this weekend. We're heading out to Arizona. We're going to do the Super, which is about 8 to 10 miles.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then,
nice and warm.
Are you doing any appearances outside the gym that we could mention, or just should people just go on the website and give
a
call?
Yeah, right now, I this past weekend, I was up in L.A. Doing another strength and conditioning for seniors workshop.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, the next one, it's not going to be for a little while. So mm-hmm. yeah, they can check out the website and, learn about anything upcoming though.
Perfect. Perfect. So, and, when's your next session, Richard?
When are you scheduled? Well, I go on Wednesday mornings at 10:15.
Do you go, is that typically the best once a week, Mike?
It just depends on the person. With Richard, he's doing a lot. So
yeah.
I would never want him to come in 5 days a week doing this because he couldn't do the things that he loves doing with playing tennis and running. So this is just one part of it. It shouldn't be the end all be all.
And best time of day to work out for most people should be what, the morning or before noon, or is it all relative or whenever you can do it?
Well, I know, speaking for myself, I like working out fairly early in the day because it sort of makes me more coherent the rest of the day.
Yeah. The easy answer is always, it depends, but it's the time that you will do it.
Yeah.
And if you're one that lets other things get in the way, then I'd say do it first thing.
Yeah. I do remember that that guy who lost all that weight for that sandwich place. I won't mention his name or the company name, but he said he would go into a gym at like 10 or 11 at night and get on the ramp and the treadmill, put it up all the way, and just do an hour of walking. And I mean, you got to get your heart rate up. I mean, that's the key.
Yeah, but if I exercise at 10 o'clock at night, I can't go to sleep.
Yeah, and sleep is king. So if it's going to interrupt with sleep, then definitely move your workouts in a little bit earlier.
Earlier, for sure. And then don't eat late either, right? That's not a good thing.
Yeah, definitely not. Don't eat and then go lay down. That's a nice way to get some indigestion and heartburn.
But anyway,
Mike, good luck in the Spartan race.
Yes. Oh, thank you so
Mike
much.
Mike Diebler, San Diego Premier Training.
Win it all.
Training.com. Richard, great seeing you. Justin Hart on our board. Thanks for making us sound terrific. Thanks to Craig Blanking, our account executive.
And Olivia Newton-John, thanks for being on the show for the first time.
Yes, and to Dave Smith, our programming genius here at KFNB. All these podcasts are commercial-free on iymoney.com. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye now.